You are listening to a podcast by Reverend Didi Arikakith from the United Methodist Wesley Foundation Campus Ministry in Tucson, Arizona.
I get some theological questions every now and then from people, and truthfully, I really love them. I love hanging out and chatting here and there, and it's good stuff. Some ministers, I would say, and probably a lot of Sunday school teachers, are afraid of tough questions, but I'm hoping that we can tackle some of these. I believe when we question, we actually have opportunities to grow in faith, and that's a good thing. Otherwise, we're kind of just regurgitating something we've memorized over the time. So instead of understanding our beliefs and living out our faith, we're just blindly going through. So wake up your neighbor, wake up. Good. Okay. This Lenten season, I'm going to tackle a big question. The big question is, did Jesus have to die? Any of you guys want to answer that right now? Yes. Good. So we're going to continue on with that. And I'll ask you the same. Maybe you'll answer the same way. Maybe you won't. But kind of ponder it as we enter this time of Lent. Big question. And it's not easily explained. 1 week would just not do it justice. This question would probably define Christianity, if you think about it. But we're going to do it in 5 weeks. And we're going to hit five major theological concepts that help answer this one question. Free will, eschatological, big word, life after death, okay? Atonement, grace. And before we can get to any of these, we have to start with the first. So, start from the very beginning. Thanks. I thought that I was the only one that knew that. Yes. So we read, we begin with ABC, and we think theologically we begin with? We don't believe it with 1, 2, 3. Thinking theologically, we've got the creation story. So that's Genesis chapters 1 and 2. And tonight we read from chapter 3, which is, anyone knows what we call that kind of scripture? The fall. Anyone else have other names for it? Original sin is the other name for this scripture. Original sin, the fall, has been debated since the very early church. And probably before that, we just don't have record of it. Origen, any guys heard of this dude? Old dude. Okay, first and second century writers. Origen's one of them. And he believed that it mirrors the story of each of us. Kind of interesting. Tertullian thought that it was linked to procreation acts. So essentially it was passed down generationally. Augustine believed that it was seminally inherited, like from conception or birth. You were sinners. Thank goodness John Wesley comes around, 19th century, and he also wrote about this stuff. Now, granted, I'm a United Methodist minister, so I have to kind of buy in, but not really. I still get a mind, I still get a thought, and I really do like John Wesley's articulation about this subject. He speaks clearly, and it's insightful. So tonight, I'm going to weave in parts of what he wrote from his 57th sermon, which was written in 1872. Still applicable. Why can't I talk tonight? Applicable. Tonight. So as we kind of dive in, we're going to ponder, not only did Jesus have to die, but we get to ponder, did anyone have to die? Now, Adam and Eve learned the hard way that ignorance is bliss. Right? They were hanging out with creation. God created everything just for them, and they were enjoying it. It was pretty cool. They were the ones that got to name all the species, which I imagine would be as fun as like naming lipsticks or like car models, but yeah. So then Eve meets the serpent, who was crafty. And I don't know about you, but anytime I heard the word crafty, I think about the Beastie Boys song. So I'm thinking maybe Mike D and the serpent were much alike. Who knows? So Eve, apparently speaking in parcel tongue, is told that the fruit would bring knowledge. Eve has two choices. Either God, the creator and giver of everything, is telling the truth, or the serpent, who she just met, who she owes nothing to, is telling the truth. Serpent apparently knows how to entice. As Wesley says, he was a liar from the beginning, mixing truth with falsehood, so you can't tell where one stops and the other begins. Unfortunately, Eve believed this lie. She gave more credit to the word of the devil than to the word of God. And unbelief brought forth actual sin. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eyes, and to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit and did eat. So completed sin. Now, Adam, the dude was not blameless in this. You hear how Eve tricked him, but you heard the scripture tonight. Are you tricked when you're under 21 and someone offers you a beer? And you say, but it looked like milk, and it was just in a beer can, and it was labeled beer. Come on. Wesley points out, the man sinned with his eyes open. He rebelled against God, the Creator. There was no trickery involved. He sinned with idolatry. He put Eve's opinion above God's commandment. And his excuse was, well, everybody was doing it. So he muttered it to God. These two decide now to go and hide. Now, this is an interesting part of the story, because how does one do that exactly? Hide from God, you know, the omniscient guy, the all-seeing, all-knowing guy. How does one hide from him? If any of you guys are in a life group, you know not very well. Jonah, didn't do so well either. So apparently sin affected Adam's brain, and these two decide they're going to go hide. Awareness of nakedness was not all that happened at this point. At that moment, Wesley explains, immediately pain followed sin. When he lost his innocence, he lost his happiness. He painfully feared that God, that in the love of whom his supreme happiness consisted before. In Genesis, we know it says, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid. So sad. This God who he had this great relationship with, suddenly he now feared and he was afraid and he was hidden in more ways than one. Wesley continues, so dreadfully his foolish heart darkened by sin and guilt and sorrow and fear. His innocence was lost, and at the same time his happiness, his wisdom. Here is the clear, intelligible answer to that question, claims Wesley, how evil came into the world. In answering our question tonight, did anyone have to die? The answer is, they already did. We have already. Every time we sin a little, we die a little. It's dying in sin, living in Christ. Wesley says, mistake as well as ignorance is, in our present state, inseparable. It's inseparable from humanity. Every child of man is in 1,000 mistakes and is liable to fresh mistakes every moment. Some days, more moments than others. And a mistake in judgment may occasion a mistake in practice. Essentially, it's only a matter of time before one leads to the other. You guys, any of you speak Hebrew? Yeah, I barely made it through that class myself. But the Hebrew language actually has 3 words for sin. And when you look at these 3 words, and they're all throughout the Old Testament, a better translation of them is not just sin, but one of them is self-abuse, the other is antisocial, and the other one is rebellion against God. You think about that. Sin is self-abuse. It goes against society and humanity, as well as God. Adam was not deceived. He willingly chose against God. Not only was there a rebellion against God, but he incurred like this self-abuse and abuse to all humanity. He lost. He died a little bit. There was a death of innocence, a death of righteousness, a death of the moral image of God that he was created that very first time to be. Wesley writes, Adam commenced from the sin, unholy, foolish, unhappy. Pause right there. I think about sins that I have done in my life, and they usually give me a feeling of unholy, foolish, and unhappy. He goes on. He entitled all his prosperity to error, guilt, sorrow, fear, pain, diseases, and death. It's not a great trade-off, Adam. Seriously, I hope that piece of fruit was great. When all of this happened to Adam and Eve, all of it happened to us. We inherited these traits, this fragile state, that corrupted human nature that we live with. I like it when Wesley says, you know, we're tempted every moment. You know, we have this ignorance. We have this thing, but we wrestle with it. We continue to wrestle with it. But death already happened. The next question, as we really want to answer that big question, is how do we get what was lost back? And that's where we're going to pick up next week.